It's good to see everybody here this morning. I was considering what I was going to preach about. I felt the Lord leading me to Colossians. I was drawn to the verses 15, 16, 17. At the end of chapter, or in the middle of chapter 3 of Colossians. It speaks about thanksgiving. Being thankful. And I saw how it is, it gives us rules for holy living. Which will help us to have a thankful heart. So this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read through the entire chapter, through the first 17 verses, and I guess you can, no translation is necessary.
Okay.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. For as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have given it to us. Lord, help us to read it, to know it, to live it, and make it part of our lives each and every moment that we breathe, so that we might be the reflection of Your light in this world. Father, we pray right now that You would show us what it is You have here for each of us, that we might be encouraged and blessed, that You would show us where we need to change and how to do it. That You would show us, Lord, where it is that we're walking closely with You, and we would know where to hold tight to those things. Father, show us how to walk in Your footsteps, how to live according to Your ways, how to be children of the living God. Father, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning, that Your anointing would be upon me, that I might preach Your word in truth and in power, that Your people might be encouraged. I pray that I would not get in the way, that You would also bless Sue, that as he translates, each word would come forth according to Your will, and that Your people would hear You speak through us this morning. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you all know I like egg rolls and cookies. Yes. And for Pastor Appreciation this year, Northbrook Alliance Church gave me cookies. And also, Hmong Community Alliance Church, they set aside some egg rolls for me. This didn't happen by accident. I asked for the egg rolls and I asked for cookies. I asked for it. And I got what I asked for. Why? Because you were just obedient? Maybe a little bit. But more, I think, because the ones who set aside the cookies and the egg rolls like me. Okay. This, as strange as may seem, is how we need to give to God. God asks us for something. And we're supposed to give it to Him. And we, kind of like the egg rolls and the cookies, were set apart for me. Have been asked by God to set ourselves apart for Him. That is to be holy. See, the word holy means to be set apart for God. This is what God has asked us to do. To be holy. Why should we do it? Got a whole book here that tells us a lot of reasons. But mostly for what God has already done for us. He's forgiven us of our sins. He has adopted us as children. And has prepared for us the kingdom of heaven as our inheritance. And And what he asks of us is easy. Maybe not easy, more like simple. But sometimes the things that look simple are hard. So God has also given us directions so we know how to do it. Let's look at that how. First thing he tells us here in this passage is to set our hearts and our minds on things above. What does that mean to set our hearts and our minds on things above? If we are to set our hearts on things above, let's look at that first. We're looking at our wants, our desires. Our emotions, our appetites. Those things that we get excited about. Whether it's happy excited or angry excited. We're supposed to be setting our hearts on things above. That doesn't mean the ceiling. We're talking about our Lord Father in heaven. We're talking about Jesus who sits at the right hand. And intercedes on our behalf. We're talking about putting our sights on eternity instead of right now. Our hearts more concerned about right this moment, or are they more concerned about what's going to happen later? It's a hard thing in this society that we live in. America comes from a society which is, or has a society, which is very much, right now, I want it now. And I know the Hmong have a little bit of that too. I remember Pastor Mua telling me a story. It tells me how Hmong fish. Back in Laos, he says, fishing pole's too slow. Grenade works much better. He says, climbing up in the tree, picking the fruit, takes too long. Cut down the tree, get all the fruit right there. Americans, we want it right now. Hmong are just Americans living across the sea. Okay. That's because we want things right away. We're not thinking long term. We're saying, if we let our, what the Lord is telling us here is don't let our desire to have something right now interfere with what's going to come later. Because what is coming later is so much more important. And it's so much better. There's a lot of people in the U.S. who buy lottery tickets. Because they want the instant win. But when, even when they win, they don't get paid right away. They get paid over 10, 20, or 30 years. Many people might win as much as $30 million. But they don't want to wait 20 years to get their money. No, $1 million a year. No. What they do is they go to somebody who pays them $10 million today to get their $30 million over the rest of 20 years. And then they spend all of it, and it's gone. And there's no more coming. That's because they were concerned about the right now and not on the later. They were thinking about things down here instead of thinking about things up above. See, our desires must be on things above, or we will be hurt. Our minds likewise need to be on things above. Our thoughts. Our dreams. Most people have dreams. They have things they want to do. Are you setting your dreams or your goals on things here or there? The Lord is telling us here we need to set our minds on those things above. Our dreams need to be not about a trip to Puerto Vallarta. Or Laos. But our dreams need to be about spending eternity with the Lord. Are your thoughts about the problems or about the solution? See, the problems are right here in front of us that we have in our lives. But our solution is our Father in Heaven. And we focus down on our problems. We can't see where we're going. But when we look up at our Lord,
we can see.
And not fall. Because the Lord guides and directs us. When we think upon Him and when we look to Him, so our minds need to be thinking and directed upon the Lord. And not focused on the things below. What is the focus of our heart and our mind? We put God first. That's our first step to holy living. Our second step is to put to death our earthly nature. So look, we've changed our focus from down here to up here. But now we need to remove those things from our lives which are getting in the way. Idolatry. Comes in many forms. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust,
greed.
So, how can that be idolatry? See, idolatry is worshiping something other than God. And these are things which, if we allow them in our lives, want that place that God has of being first in our life. Sexual immorality. It can take over everything. It becomes the altar of worship. Maybe secret worship. But worship nonetheless. Greed. Chasing after money. Stuff, power. It overcomes everything else in your life if you allow greed to take over. All these different forms of idolatry we need to literally kill. Put to death so they're gone from our lives. We need to put to death these things which cause us to worship anything other than God, whom we're supposed to be looking up to. So that's why we need to be looking up first. Because if we're looking at idolatry, it won't allow us to look up. And it will shackle us so we cannot remove it from our lives. We also need to remove bad attitudes. That's anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language.
kiếm bó tơ, sáp hệ, hà lù chi chén, hà lù phê.
Anybody get caught with that, even at, maybe at work?
Mẹ bố mô này thì chế hò lửa, thì lọ tàu hù mẹ là hả?
When you're in an environment that has these things, it's easy to start taking it on yourself. It takes hard work to stay calm when everybody around you is angry, doesn't it? It takes a real effort not to speak with a foul mouth if everybody else is using foul language. It looks simple, but it's hard. Rage, malice, these are things that kind of come up inside us. Again, it's by looking up that we can best put this down. This, our attitudes, we need to remove the bad to replace with good. To make room. For the two cannot live in the same place. We'll talk about our good attitudes in a minute. One more thing we want to remove. Is division. We tend to want to put everybody in different groups. There are some groups which are indeed helpful. But we are not supposed to try to divide the body of Christ. The word tells us that we're one. That we have been unified in Christ. Unified means taking the different pieces and bringing them together. Think of a potter who takes many lumps of clay and then rolls them into one ball. Then shapes an object for his use. Can you then go back and take out the pieces of clay without harming the object? Not unless you want it like a pot that leaks. Or a container that lets rodents in. So you can't divide it once it's been made one. Not without hurting it. Damaging it. We do that, we bring division in lies and discrimination. Lies, how do they bring division? Well, if I tell you a lie and you find out, we're going to have division, aren't we? We have those whom we've told the truth to and those whom we've lied to. See, lies breed distrust. Lies breed disunity. Discrimination is that process whereby we say one group is better than another group. And we're not going to let the other group play with our baseball or basketball. We say, this is ours. This is for people who are just like us. And we've defined just like us in a particular way. And those ways always bring division. Verse 11 says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. George was talking earlier that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ.
And George, no one had to go at that bishop layer, good day, younger to Jesus.
That we are indeed one. We are one because we're all covered with the same forgiveness of the blood of Christ. Which is available for everyone who will receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And once someone has received Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're now family. They have now been brought together to be part of the one body, the body of Christ, the church. We need to not cause division. We instead to have unity. So we put to death idolatry, bad attitude, and division.
Division.
And we do that by putting on the virtues. That is, we reflect God.
เขาคือเก่งจริงๆครับเขาคือเปรียบถูกใช้จนแต่วันชื่อ
See, we need to love because we've been loved. See, God first loved us. We need to reflect back that love. What is love you ask? I'm glad you asked. I just happen to have a slide. Mike? Hello? Slide? Love? Ah! I didn't see it. Okay. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's what God has done for us. He has been selfless. He came and died on the cross. He was loyal even though we sin and it's our sin that put him on the cross. He came anyways. He came not for his benefit but for ours. That's benevolence. Okay, thank you, Mike. He came with love. He also brought compassion. He brought kindness. Humility. Compassion in that God is righteous and should by all means destroy all that is unrighteous. Anybody here ever sin? According to God's law, we deserve destruction. But he had compassion on us. He came with kindness to restore us to himself. Kindness means he invites us. He does not compel us. He comes to where we are. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He deals with the problems that we each have. No matter how big or small. That is kindness. Came with humility. He didn't come in a flash of lightning and in his full glory, but as a baby. A child of humble parents. Who literally had no place to live at the time he was born. He came with gentleness, patience. He is gentle. We need to reflect that fact. So the Lord has been gentle to us. We need to be gentle with others. It would be so easy for the Lord to come in power. And compel. But He quietly invites us. Because the relationship He wants with us is not one of dominion and pushing us down. But one of fellowship and of a parent raising us up. He's patient. He is so patient. Anybody here ever do anything that you know the Lord didn't want you to do? And then have the Lord bring to you the depth of what you did? And then have you do it again? And no matter how many times, you know what? He will always forgive you. Matter of fact, He has already forgiven you. He's patient. May I have a little patience? I try. And that's what we're supposed to do, is try. We need to bear with each other. That is, carry each other. We need to... What that means is we need to carry one another's burdens. And we need to forgive those who have, well, let's just say, we have not been pleased with them. You know the ones that hurt you? The one who did you dirty at work? The one who hurt you in some way? They hurt you so badly you wanted to hurt them back? We need to forgive. That means we say, I forgive you. Not just with our lips, but with our heart and our mind. Again, sounds so simple. But it's not easy. Ask my wife. It's not easy sometimes for her to bear with me. Ask my elders. It's not easy sometimes for them to bear with me. You know what? Sometimes it's not easy for me to bear with them. But that's what we're to do. We are to bear with one another. And we are to bear one another's burdens. What that means is, if my brother or sister has a problem, a burden, I'm supposed to help them carry it. Sometimes we do that by just coming alongside and listening to somebody who has a problem. You might pray with them and or for them. We may help them with a particular thing that needs to be done. Maybe somebody needs a roof redone. Like we did here at the church. We bore one another burdens. We helped each other. Because no one could have done it by themselves. After we put on these virtues and we are reflecting back on, we find that these virtues are taking the place of those earthly nature that we have killed. And what should flow out of this is the next step. Which is to have an attitude of gratitude. Peace to rule in our heart. Peace in our heart. See, if we had those other things earlier, we couldn't just put peace in our heart, could we? But peace comes from the growth of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Remember, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've already done so, if not, if you ever receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen closely, this is what will happen. The Holy Spirit will seal you and come and live in your heart. The seal marks you as God's. He lives in our hearts to conform us to the image of Christ. That is to help us do this very thing that I'm talking about here today. To live holy. Set apart for God. So that we can be God's pleasure. As we cultivate the Holy Spirit in our lives,
คือถอคือเปมอตุวันจุมอวันจุปลีรูคือการเปรุเน
The fruit of the Holy Spirit grow just like a garden
คือลูกจื้อเดวันจุปลีโยคือจื้อเลคือทันเต
A garden that is not cultivated doesn't produce good fruit does it
ทันเตคือจตอคือตูนิจิกะซิจิจองเปีย
So we need peace to rule in our heart We need to cultivate the Holy Spirit. We do that by setting our hearts and minds above. By putting to death our earthly natures. By reflecting the virtues of God.
อย่างคือยังจองแต่ว่าชีวิตต้องมดตีอย่างคือยังแต่ว่าชีวิตต้องมดตีจนเลยตัว
Then we need to dwell on the word
ให้เป็นจุดต่อคือรู้คือใช้ตัวว่าชีวิตรู
้ Let us spend time in itSpend time in it. And we need to allow it to live in us. How do you let the word, the Bible, live in you? By taking it in. Every day.And letting it have free reign. Don't try to section it off and put it in one corner. Sunday morning for 2 hours. This is when the Bible's loose in my life. Sunday morning. That's...Not the way we're told to do it. We're told to let it dwell in us richly. That means the word should be in every part of our lives. At work. At home.Out and about, even at church. We also need to give thanks in all things. Giving thanks is not always easy. There's some of the things thathappen in our lives are difficult.
We have that more the yang ke chuchu to pelu ne ke
nyo. But again, what helps with that is our focus. Where are we putting our attention? If we are putting our hearts and our minds on things above,
ya pe mo pe ke san ha pe ru sha cho ke sho.
It then becomes much easier to put, to give thanks in all things. And we also need to be giving thanks. Recognize that all things come from God. See, if we quite often try to think that we did it ourselves.We need to continually give God the credit and give God the glory. We need to live for Christ, not for self. We find that as we go through Colossians chapter 3. That one step helps us get to the next. And you really can't do the latter step without doing the earlier step. So set your hearts on things above. So that you can give thanks. For all things here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask now that you would send your Holy Spirit and just show us your will and your way. Each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand as we close by saying,